Well, good morning. Happy Advent to you. Merry Christmas. So glad that you are here. So excited to begin another Christmas season with all of you. And those of you who are traveling in from afar and you've come in for Thanksgiving and you're worshiping with us, we're really glad that you're here as well, making much of Jesus with us on this Sunday morning. It does finally feel like Christmas, and I hope that you are enjoying that. I can't help but recognize the decorations that are in our lobby and in our sanctuary and those who volunteer to do that. I just want to say thank you because they really do look good. It really helps to set the tone. If you have your Bible, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 31. We're going to finish out that series this morning. I heard someone say that the thing they miss the most about their childhood is having somebody else decide and prepare every one of their meals for them. Anybody relate to that? I mean, we should be very thankful for the food that we have and the opportunity to eat, but it's one of those things that they don't really tell you about being an adult. One of those things that really just you suffer through is you have to choose a meal and then prepare it and make sure you got it. And then you eat it and then you got to clean it up all by yourself. There's all this stuff that you have to do and it's just not so fun. One evening a few weeks ago, we were in our home there in the living room, and it came time for the question, what do y'all want to eat for dinner tonight, right? So some suggestions were thrown out there, different suggestions here and there, and one of the boys said, pizza. Let's get some pizza. And I looked over at Jackie, and I said, I like pizza. We haven't had pizza in a while. Let's get some pizza. And that woman that God gave me looked at me and said, she said, you can't eat pizza for dinner anymore. It hurts your stomach. What she said. That's what she said. What I heard was, you're old. And so I had a chicken wrap that night for dinner. It was good. Being a pastor of an established church or several established churches, I have the honor, and I mean it, I have the honor and the privilege to hang around several people that you might call old. That's just part of the job. It's just part of something that I honestly get to do. And I've noticed that there are several things, regardless of your age, in which kind of make you seem old. Just a couple of things. You make a noise when you sit down or when you stand up. You announce the weather as part of regular conversations. Just tell everybody, it's cold outside. Yep, it is. You don't recognize celebrities anymore. Is that anybody? That's me. I don't even know that they're talking about a celebrity. I don't even know what that is. The cashier tries to explain the card reader to you. You have to scroll forever to get to your birth year. Filling out form. So annoying. They should start up at the high end. Come back. You hear worship songs that you love mixed in ways that you don't love. Anybody that way? These things might mean you're old, and the truth is we age, we all get older. If everything goes according to plan, we'll be older tomorrow than we are today. And that raises some questions that we don't often think about, is what do we do with age? What do we do with getting older? How do we think about getting older without fear or denial? And what does it look like to be young and not waste that season of our lives, or to be older and not feel like we are sidelined or pushed out of the race? As we wrap up this series called Decisions, Decisions, we're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 31, where we have an old leader and a young leader and an entire nation are all standing on the edge of something new, a new chapter in the life of that nation. Moses is 120 years old, and he basically starts the text off by saying, guys, I'm old. But what God does with that moment is far deeper than a fun fact about his age. In this passage, we see what God says to the older age, to the newer age, and to every age. And we are reminded that over all of it stands the ageless God who goes before us and goes with us. Let's pray together, and then we'll look at Deuteronomy 31, 1 through 6. God, thank you so much for the worship that we've participated in already this morning, and thank you for those who gather this morning, those of every age, very young and very old, as we come together to make much of you, to celebrate the life that you have given us. Another day, another Advent season, longing and anticipating the second return of Jesus. So God, I pray together. I pray today that we are together, that our hearts and our minds are open. We look at the text, and where we do not measure up, God, you would give us the strength, the courage, and the faith to do that. It's in Jesus' name we pray together. Amen. So you read these six verses, and I really see four ages come out of the text. Four ages, and we'll look at those, but we'll start with the older. Let me read verses 1 and 2 to you. You can follow along. I'm in the Christian Standard Bible. This is what it says. Then Moses continued to speak these words to all of Israel, saying, I am now 120 years old. I can no longer act as your leader. The Lord has told me you will not cross the Jordan. This is what we've been talking about, this older age. Like I said, Moses is 120. His life has been remarkable, but not always so. He has done some great things and then some really great mistakes. This is the part that really stuck out to me when I was reading the text. It wasn't so much that he said he was 120 years old. It was that next part when he says, I can no longer act as your leader. When you read that, when we read the text, when we read through it, we think to ourselves, well, yeah. I mean, you're 120. It's time for you to hang it up. It's time for you to turn it in. He's not exactly in his prime. And even if he was physically up to the task, who would want to? Who would want to keep leading the children of Israel when they're past 120 years? I mean, I'm 43 and I think about retirement regularly. But this is the thing that I want to share with you and the thing that I want to point out. Moses was physically able to do the job. Deuteronomy 34 verse 7, just a few chapters later, it says Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not weak and his vitality had not left him. Moses was able, and I know he wanted to. There are several texts within scripture in which Moses argues with God, asking him, let me still lead. Let me still do this. I can do this, God. I want to do this. He is physically and spiritually and emotionally and mentally still able to lead. But God had told him it was time to stop. God told him it was the end of his road. Some of that had to do with his own sin and the consequences of his anger. But some of that was simply God saying, it's time. It's time to stop. Moses wasn't burning out or giving in. He was finishing the race. He was faithful right up to the finish line. And that's something pretty incredible to see. I just really want to emphasize that. When Moses says, guys, I'm old and I can't be your leader anymore. It wasn't like he was saying, I can't. He's just saying, it's time for me not. Our culture doesn't see age as a good thing. We fight it all of the time. We try to live forever or at least look young as long as we possibly can. But age is a good thing. Typically, not always, you get a little bit of wisdom just by hanging around a little longer. That's why people say, this isn't my first rodeo. I heard someone else say, I had no idea I was supposed to learn everything in my first rodeo. That doesn't seem like enough rodeos. Proverbs 16 verse 31 says, gray hair is a crown of glory. And Job 12:12 says, wisdom is with the aged. One of the distinguishing characteristics of Valley Ridge Church is that we have old people. And that may sound odd to say, but not every church does. Some people think it's a hindrance or a negative, but I don't. I truly don't. Older folks provide stability and do have some experience that we all need. I am thankful for those who we would term as older in our church because we need you. I would like to, for a few moments, not in a corny or a forced way, but I want to just take a moment to honor those in our church that we consider to be older. Because I'm telling you, listen, it sounds weird. It sounds forced. There's even some of you that just really don't like me talking about this because you're on that side of things. But I'm telling you, our culture acts as if age is a problem. And I am telling you, it is a strength. I'm saying the same thing about a church. A church with the older is a stronger church. And so I don't know where you would place the line. It seems like everybody you ask places the line of old and young just right past them, right? But I'm going to, at the risk of hurting or being hurt later, I'm going to stick it right there at 70. So let me see who in here, I'm going to tell you what we're going to see who's in the room, and then we're going to recognize them. But first, just by lifting your hands, how many of you are over the age of 70? Look around there. I love that. Okay. No, wait. How many of you, put your hands down, how many of you are over the age of 80? Do we have any? Look at all those back there. Okay. Place your hands down. How many of you are over the age of 90? Do we have any of those? All right. Those of you who did not lift your hands, would you stand with me and recognize these who have loved and served and provided and protected and built what we now enjoy? Thank you. I want to thank you, those who have lived and provided and given us the things that we now enjoy. We stand on your shoulders. We stand side by side with you in this task. And we are so very thankful for those of you. And those of you who have been a part of the First Baptist Church of Lewisville, Texas for many years and other churches. We come together and we celebrate that. If you're going to have an older age, you're also going to have a newer age. Right there in the middle of the text, 1-6, Moses mentions this other guy, Joshua. Verse 3, it says, Joshua is the one who will cross ahead of you, as the Lord has said. Sounds like a troublemaker. They probably called him Josh. If Moses is old age, then Joshua is the new age. Not the new age mysticism or other silliness and nonsense like that. Just new as opposed to the old. New isn't better, nor is it worse. It's just new. And it is inevitable. It's not something worth fighting or villainizing, but it's truly something worth welcoming. While Joshua may represent what is new, he certainly is not a new kid on the block. Joshua didn't microwave his calling. He served quietly and faithfully and humbly for 40 years before he ever took the leadership role. Long before he carried authority, he carried bags. Long before he gave orders, he received and obeyed them. He spent 4 decades in the preparing age, letting God form him before God would use him. And I want to be very careful here. This isn't old versus young. In fact, I think that kind of thinking is toxic. This is a season of growth, and recognizing that when you are in that season of not yet old, the best thing you can do is to take the posture of learning. I find myself in the in-between, neither old nor young. I can't have pizza anymore, but, you know, people think I'm young. This is why I have so many mentors and pastors that I call and text and ask questions all the time. All week I'm asking them questions about change leadership, bylaw updates, hiring and managing staff. And I encourage everyone to take that same position, to find these people and to let them invest in you. Obviously, I don't think that youthfulness is a disqualifying trait of leadership. But I do think one of the marks of a person ready to lead is the acknowledgement that we are almost never ready to lead. Proverbs 20, verse 29 says, "The glory of young men is their strength, and the splendor of old men is their gray hair or bald head." Just as age and wisdom of the older is needed in life, so is strength of the young. Some things are just a young person's game. Leading a nation of nomadic shepherds into a conquest of land inhabited by giants seems like something someone a bit younger should tackle. And he will be successful at it because Moses invested in him and Joshua received it. So when you are old, invest. And when you are new of age or not yet old, get invested in. So we are listening to Moses, and he has spoken to the older, and he has spoken about the younger. But keep in mind that he is speaking to the entire nation. He is speaking to people of every age. Verse 6 says this, "To all the people, regardless of their age, be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified or afraid of them." There's 2 parts to this. One is positive. Be strong and courageous. And one is negative. Don't be terrified and don't be afraid. There's probably any number of ways that you could explain exactly what it means when he tells the nation to be strong. They will have to face very real giants and fight very real wars. Strength will be required of them, but to command strength brings up a different sort of question. You can't just command somebody to lift something heavy. If they don't have that ability, then they cannot do it. And since this is a command, then it is expected that it can be obeyed. So then what kind of strength is this? When Moses does die, God speaks directly to Joshua, and he tells him the very same thing. He says, be strong and courageous, and he ties that strength and courageous to obedience. What God calls strength is a dogged commitment to the instructions of God, to do what God says to do, regardless of what others or even yourself wants to do. That's true strength. He also says, don't be afraid of them. It's not just having a commitment to obey. It's not letting anyone else stop you. I like how he adds that them part to it. The them that they were supposed to not fear were giants. Real, big, armed men. I would argue that those are people worth fearing. Maybe some healthy fear, and yet Moses says, nah, don't be afraid of them. We don't so much have giants that we have to fear, but we do have them that we are often afraid of. In my experience, people are always worried about them. There's all of these scary thems out there that are going to get us. People fear sharing their faith because they might ask us a question about our faith. So we're afraid that them would ask us a question. Or we're afraid to be convictional about being Christian and about being Jesus followers because we're afraid we might offend them. They have their convictions. And a lot of times I hear people try to say, well, it's all equal. I would never want to insult somebody of a different faith, like a Muslim or a Mormon or something like that. And so we're timid in our faith. We act like they're the same. But my friend, they are not the same. There is one God. And his name is Jesus. And if that insults other people, that is not an intentional insult. It should be an insult that draws people to the love. And don't be insulting for no reason or offensive for no reason. But the reality of our truth claim faith is that there is one Jesus and there's one way to be right with God. It may be offensive to people. But I do want to point out, all the other faiths claim the same sort of exclusivity that ours does. So don't back down. Don't be afraid. Do not fear them. Sometimes people are afraid to hold biblical convictions because of the way social media frames it. Being traditional or convictional is out of touch or hateful. And that's just not true. So do not be afraid. Some of us might be afraid to actually parent because we're afraid our kids will get mad. I bet they will. But don't be afraid to teach and to lead and to make the best decisions that honor God and to train up your children. My favorite sitcom ever is a show called King of Queens. A lot of people love The Office and Friends. I'm a King of Queens guy. I like that show. I'd much rather watch King of Queens than the other two. And one of the scenes that I remember most that I quote often, or not that often, but one of the scenes is Carrie, the wife, she's upset with Doug, the husband, and she was scolding him and she was talking to him the way one does when they are upset. And Doug looked at Carrie and said, talking like this doesn't scare me. In the same way, the way that people talk, the way that they frame our faith or our convictions should not scare us. Don't be afraid of them. I see the way people talk about traditional or conservative Christians, the way the conversation is framed or intentionally misframed, the vocabulary they use to prop people up as intellectual or insightful. I would just tell you this, my friend, don't be afraid of them. So long as you are pursuing what God has commanded in Scripture, keep walking forward with your eyes up and steel in your spine. Be strong. The them, the whoever it is that you are fearful of, is almost always much louder than they are powerful. And even if they do have some sort of superhuman strength and fortified cities, I'm telling you this, your God is greater. So we've seen the older and the younger and the every age. But then there is also the ageless. All of this really just empty words unless it's placed in a much greater timeline. Unless you can step back and see the world didn't start with Moses, and as great as he is, it did not end when his race was done. That's because there is an ageless one that is working his plan throughout history. That's the age that we see last. Deuteronomy 31, 3 and 6 says this, "The Lord your God is the one who will cross ahead of you. For the Lord your God is the one who go with you. He will not leave you nor abandon you." Moses' wisdom was limited. Joshua's strength and innovation were not enough. And their collective resolve and commitment will only get them so far. It's imperative that everyone involved keep in mind that God is ultimate. It is his wisdom that we borrow and seek out, his ability and creativity that we need and we employ. And we have already said that our strength is only as strong as our dedication to what he has taught us to do. They didn't know exactly what was over the river. They didn't know exactly how the fight would go. And that's why Moses reminded them that God would go before them. And maybe they had some idea of what a battle is like and what it means to wage war, but they didn't know if they would be able to accomplish it. And that's why Moses reminds them that God will fight for them. You remember those times in school where you had a test or an exam coming up and you were nervous about it? Something big, some sort of thing that carried this huge amount of weight for your grade and whether you passed or failed or succeeded or did not. You studied, you read and reread your notes. Maybe you made flashcards or whatever that was. For me, it was always helpful to have a friend or a classmate that took the test before me. And they would come and they would tell me, "It's not that bad, don't worry about it." It's much better if they told me, "Here's the questions and the answers." But that never worked out for me. Usually it was something like, "Really focus on the dates. There's a lot of dates in this test," or the vocabulary, "If you really read the vocabulary," something like that. They had gone before me and they told me what to expect. And that helped to know what I was facing. God has gone before you. I know this is your first time being a teenager and juggling all of the stresses that you have. I will say, it is harder for you than it was for those of us that went before you. I believe that, but I also believe God has gone before you. This is your first time being married for this long. There are times you feel like you and her are one flesh, and other times where you feel like you are mortal enemies. You just don't know, but God does. He has gone before you and he is with you. Thursday was your first Thanksgiving without your loved one. And Christmas will be here very soon. And you still miss them terribly. You don't know how you will make it or how you'll make it through, but God does. He has gone before you and he will go with you. Every workday and weekend, every anniversary and memorial, every time your first child graduates from kindergarten, elementary, middle school, high school, college. You don't know exactly how you're going to take that transition, but God has gone before you and God will go with you. He's ageless in that way. And church, the reason that Moses could speak with such confidence saying that God has gone before you and that he will go with you is because this promise rests in the unchanging character of God. What Moses declared in chapter 31 pointed ahead to something even greater. When Jesus was born, they called him Emmanuel, which means that God is with us. The world saw this promise take on flesh. And the same God who went before Israel into the unknown stepped into the world at Christmas, walked ahead of us and into death at the cross, and rose before us in victory at the empty tomb. He has already gone ahead into every place that we fear. But that promise, God with us, is not automatic. It's offered to everyone, but it must be received personally. We all age differently, but we all carry the same problem of rebellion against God, disordered affections and misplaced worship, and no amount of effort or goodness will bridge the gap that that creates between us and God. That's why Jesus came. He lived the perfect life we could not live, died a death that we deserved, and rose again so that anyone who trusts him can be forgiven and made new. This isn't about trying harder or proving yourself. It's about placing your life in the hands and receiving the grace that he so freely offers. So let me ask you this. Is the God who goes before you the God who is walking with you? Whether you're old age or new age or somewhere in between, your deepest need is the same. You need Jesus. He's a Savior who never ages, never weakens, and never abandons his people. If you've never trusted him, you can turn to him right now, call out to him in faith and confess your need for his mercy, and he will meet you with the same promise that God gave Israel through Moses. He will go before you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. If all that's true, if God is the one who goes before us, if Christ is Emmanuel who came to be with us, if he is the same God who carried Moses, strengthened Joshua, and walked with Israel, then it reshapes the way that we live. So I would just share with you these four thoughts on how this old age, new age, every age, ageless text sort of speaks to us. The first one is keep going until God says that you're finished. Moses didn't quit because he was tired. He stopped because God said his part was done. Age is not a disqualifier. Weariness isn't a disqualifier. If God has you breathing, he has you serving. So wherever you are, old age, new age, or somewhere in between, stay faithful until God writes the final line of your assignment. One way to serve uniquely in our church is to become what we call a specialist. All of these positions, this servant leadership that is specifically designed for those who have retired. Those in that stage of life, because we need your wisdom. We need stability. We need that kind of insight. So you can go to valleyridge.church/jobs, and on there, there's specialist. I'd love for you to consider being a part of that. Two, seek wisdom from those who have gone before you. Joshua didn't step into leadership overnight. He spent decades learning and listening and receiving correction. The Christian life is not meant to be lived without mentors, voices, and examples. Seek out someone older in faith. Ask questions and listen well. And if you are one of those older saints, look for someone younger to pour into them. One of the ways that you can connect in our church, like we have this big expression, right? Worship. And then you go into small groups, but the small groups are life stages. But we have rally on Sunday nights, and that is one of the designed purposes of rally, is that we would be in community with people of all different ages. So I want to encourage you to be a part of rally when it kicks back up in January. Third, stay steady in God's word and don't drift to the left or to the right. When God told Joshua to be strong and courageous after Moses died, the strength he required wasn't physical, it was obedience. The same is true for us. In a world that constantly tugs us off course, both morally and socially, our strength comes from staying anchored to what God said, even when it's unpopular or inconvenient. And finally, face the future without fear, because you're never alone. Israel stood on the edge of the Jordan, unsure of what was coming. They didn't know the battles, the challenges, or the cost, but God told them not to fear, because he would be with them wherever they would go. And whatever thems that they feared, whatever unknown waits for them in front of you, you can walk forward with courage because God himself has promised to go with you and to stay with you. If I was going to summarize all of this up, this is how I would say it. Keep going faithfully, learn humbly, walk obediently, and live courageously because God is with you. There used to be this celebrity actor, speaking of not recognizing celebrities, there used to be this one whose stage name was John Wayne. Any of y'all recognize John Wayne? Show of hands, how many of you have never seen a John Wayne movie? A few over there. Anybody else? Younger ones over here. You haven't seen one? All right. John Wayne's great. All right. And so maybe during the holiday break that you watch one, my suggestion, his best one ever. That's controversial to say, right? But it's not country. It's the Cowboys. Point blank, period. John Wayne's best movie is The Cowboy. In that movie, there's this really insightful scene that really sets up the movie and sets up the conversation as it goes. Anderson, that's John Wayne's character, is watching some bulls fight, this older bull fight, this younger bull, with the young cowboys that he's training up. if you want to call them that. And then this is what he says. He says, I've seen them fight all day from dawn to dark. Sometimes the young one wins. Sometimes the old. Young ones got more muscle. Old ones got more experience. There's a pause where they watch the bulls fight. And then one of the bulls runs off and John Wayne says, that's the old one still standing. And then he walks away, right? I think it's a great line in the movie. It really captures the essence of what's going on in that movie and setting it up for this older cowboy training these younger cowboys. But I think it sets up the conversation differently. I don't even think it's really accurate to the way that the movie is, and it's certainly foreign to the way that Christianity is. We honor age and we celebrate youth. Two aspects of one person and people. Both are needed, and as they are lived out, they need to be reminded of the greater narrative that we are all part of. God's redemptive story. And it is that we fearlessly obey what God has instructed us to do for the good of others and for God's glory. Let's pray together. God, thank you for this morning, and thank you for the gift of age and the gift of youth. God, I pray that we as a church would continue to age together. We would grow closer to one another as we grow closer to that day. We see you return, or we return to you. God, in this moment as we begin to celebrate Advent, we just pause for a second to just appreciate the way that you have built our church and our families. We think back to Thanksgiving celebrations where every age was around that table. And how beautiful and right and true and good that is. So God, I pray that those who are in our church that would be considered older, I pray that they would not feel pushed aside or pushed out, no longer listened to or no longer respected. I pray that they would know that they are honored and cared for and that they have a place. I pray that they would not look down on the youth or hold them back, stiff arm them or keep them from leading. For those in our church who are young, inexperienced and growing, I pray that we would anchor to what the word of God says. In our minds and in our hearts, we would be faithful to what the true scriptures teach. That we would chase after those who have gone before us, respecting them and honoring them in our work ethic, and in our pursuits of you daily. God, bring together what the world tries to constantly tear apart. For those who have not yet trusted you as their ageless Savior, I pray today is the day that they do. They repent and believe and throw their life into your hands. It's in Jesus' name we pray together. Amen. Y'all stand with us. Give you just a moment. They're going to sing some songs. And that gives you a moment to respond in whatever way that God has led you to respond. Just take a few seconds as the music plays, you react.